Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues, Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org. ccle.org.
Bisogno di capire bene.
We need to understand what the misery of God means. Our Father, full of mercy, has also a lot of patience. God does not get tired of forgiving us. We should not get tired of asking Him to forgive us.
And I bet there are a lot of people who might return to the church if it changed. After tonight's celebrations are over, the big question will be whether Pope Francis will be that change.
Don't go changing to try and please me.
Before long, the churches started looking like revival meetings. Cancels were gone, pulpits were gone, baptismal fonts gone, Lord's table gone, because you had to have a stage for the evangelist personality and charisma.
Indiana truck drivers, rubbish, etc.
Well, it's garnered very high ratings, unexpectedly high ratings. The Bible on the History Channel, this miniseries that's running through the season of Lent leading up to Easter. And, of course, people have been talking about its accuracies, its inaccuracies, what characters look like the president. A lot of people are talking about it. And apparently, in Hollywood, they've realized that there's a market for the Bible or for Bible stories. Is that necessarily a good thing? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Hollywood and the Bible. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest a little bit later. We'll move on to part four of our seven-part series on creation today. Does Genesis fit an old earth theory? Dr. Joel Heck will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Now, before we introduce our guest, let's listen to a story from ABC's Good Morning America Today, titled Hollywood Finds Religion.
We think of Hollywood as on the hunt for a new computer monster or a car chase. So how is it there are now seven new movies about to star Noah or Moses or Pontius Pilate? Well, first, take a look at the giant success of the TV miniseries on the Bible. And here's ABC's Nick Watt.
I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
Jesus.
The Bible, the TV show, not the book, is today's hot topic around the water coolers here at the Calvary Community Church in Los Angeles.
We do watch it with the actual Bible, and we follow along with the story.
He'll say to me, did that really happen? I said, well, let's check it in the Bible.
This miniseries is a dramatization of some of the Bible's greatest stories, produced by reality TV guru Mark Burnett and his actress wife, Roma Downey.
Change the world.
Its success, largely down to the one quarter of Americans who identify themselves as evangelical Christians. Pastors have been promoting the show from their pulpits.
To get people to move from the video series to actually want to open God's Word, the Bible, and begin to understand it.
At least seven other biblical movies are in the works right now. Russell Crowe is playing Noah.
We were talking to Russell Crowe the other night, and Roma was laughing with him, saying,
I teased him, I said, our ark is bigger than your ark.
Christian Bale apparently set to play Moses. And there's talk Brad Pitt might take on the role of Pontius Pilate.
I will crush any rebellion.
With the Bible and everything else to come, Hollywood is now chasing the Christian dollar.
I am coming soon.
But as one believer just told me, the Word of God is written. He didn't leave us a YouTube clip. The book, they say, will always be better than the movie. Nick Watt, ABC News, Los Angeles.
That's ABC's Good Morning America. Joining us to talk about Hollywood and the Bible, Pastor Ted Giese. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's author of a recent article titled "The Bible: Viewer Discretion is Advised." Pastor Giese, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
It appears that, at least for the time being, Hollywood has decided that there's a market for Bible stories and for the characters and for the Bible in general. Is this necessarily a good thing?
It's interesting. Hollywood is always finding something like this. And the last couple years, the thing that they found was Grimm's fairy tales. So they've had all sorts of movies like Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunter, Red Riding Hood, Snow White and the Huntsman, Jack the Giant Killer, stuff like that. So they're always finding something to do. Right now, I mean, if this is going to be the thing that they're going to be doing for the next couple of years, it becomes an opportunity for Christians, particularly if Christians know their scripture well enough to make a defense for what we believe, because there'll be a lot of questions about what Christians believe if this becomes the thing that everybody wants to talk about for the next couple of years.
Now, if the Bible miniseries on the History Channel is an indication of how accurate, how faithful a representation Hollywood's portrayal of the Bible is going to be, what are your thoughts there?
Well, there's going to be a lot of explaining to do on the part of Christians. Like no production of a biblical story is ever particularly perfect. Even The Passion of the Christ, which came out recently in 2004, in fact, that was one where when that came out, they predicted that there was going to be just all of these Christian movies coming out because of that, because of how well it did. And maybe this is the crop that's being now harvested. It takes a long time to make movies. But even that one, The Passion of the Christ, had particular problems. And one of the things that came out pretty loud and clear in that was the fact that it was made by a Roman Catholic. So there were spots where it departed from what Scripture says and injected into it Roman Catholic ideas about things that are not found specifically in Scripture. So every movie to a certain degree, or every TV show or every miniseries or production, will have areas where it veers off. So I think there's going to be... Hollywood doesn't have a really great track record for keeping things close to the original text when it comes to something like the Bible. It's interesting because The Lord of the Rings, they can keep really close to the text. They can be quite faithful. They have to do some alterations, but there are other things that they keep very faithful to the original text. The Bible, they seem to like to take a little creative license with.
Okay, last night I sat down just by chance that you mentioned that. I sat down and I watched The Hobbit movie. It just came out on iTunes. And I know the book very, very well. Read it many, many times. And I thought to myself, okay, I can see why they had to do that, why they had to deviate or add, or why they had to make it so it would dovetail with the other books that they turned into movies. I completely understand that. But they didn't take, as you said, a tremendous amount of liberties. What's different about the Bible, or perhaps Hollywood's view of the Bible, that they're not only willing to take more liberties, they're really to take to some pretty egregious ones?
The Bible falls victim, I think, to this notion in our society that everything is just a matter of opinion, right? So then everyone has one, and they can interpret it however they like. And also, like, I watched quite a bit already of the miniseries, the Bible, and, like, they do add things in that just aren't in the text, and sometimes I think they do that because they want it to be exciting, for want of a better word, as if Scripture isn't already amazing and exciting all by itself, but, you know, adding in a fight scene here or some dramatic twist or what Hollywood would consider a dramatic twist. That isn't actually necessary. I think that it's just that they think that it's just free game. And there's no uniformity in terms of one way of teaching what Scripture says, which is a sad thing that we pray for the end of that all the time. But you have, you know, a Pentecostal way of looking at it. You have a Southern Baptist way of looking at it. You could have a purpose-driven way of looking at it, like a Rick Warren style, which is something that you do find in this particular version. He was one of the people that they had gone to for some advice about putting this production together. Or, like I said, in the Passion of the Christ film, there's a Roman Catholic way of looking at it. What I think as Lutherans, what we would like, and most Christians, I think what we really want to see is the scriptural way of looking at it, which is what the Bible says, and kind of being as close to that as humanly possible. I liked in the little clip at the beginning that you had played how the kid would be asking, is that really in the Bible? And then the teacher says, well, let's get our Bibles and look. And I think that's what really would be the best benefit of all of this, is if people went back to do some fact-checking to see if what they're looking at is actually what's in Scripture. They will be surprised at the things that have been changed, and I think they'll be pleasantly surprised when they read Scripture, because the things that are missing, or at least the things I see that are missing, are like these real big gospel moments and these things that point to Christ and what God's going to do for his people, particularly in these first couple of hours of the Bible miniseries.
Okay. I wonder if someone doesn't do the fact-checking, if they just watch it. I was listening to a very popular conservative talk show host just yesterday, and he didn't see any reason why anyone needed to check any facts. He says it's a great miniseries. It's life-changing. It's going to change the country. It's going to spark revival. If someone doesn't do the fact-checking, what's the problem there, Pastor Giese? About a minute here before.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a sad situation in some ways, because, well, in every way, you always need to go back and see if whatever you're watching, whatever it is being true. Interestingly, I would say that the most biblical movie I've seen in the past year has been Les Mis.
Let's take a break. We'll find out what he means by that on the other side of the break. We're talking about Hollywood and the Bible. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Stay tuned. Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the Bible in Hollywood. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest, Associate Pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's author of a recent article titled, The Bible, Viewer Discretion is Advised. I want to know what you think about Hollywood and the Bible. Give us your feedback on the Bible miniseries as well on the History Channel. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Before the break, Pastor Giese, you said that the most biblical movie you've seen recently is Les Mis. Why do you say that?
Well, it's a curious thing. It's not based on any biblical account, but it is a very faithful look at forgiveness and forensic justification. The two characters, Inspector Gilbert and the parole-jumping ex-convict Jean Valjean, are personifications of law and gospel. Their characters' lives, they live right in the intersection between the kingdom of the left hand and the kingdom of the right hand. It's where most biblical characters, most biblical figures live, and it's where we live. That was very engaging. And, of course, it's written by Victor Hugo and has been made into piles of movies and musical and now this. But it really delves into that, and it does a great job of investigating and presenting those biblical truths. That to me, you know, was much richer in terms of what you could get from it, even than this is, which is kind of a strange thing to say, because this is based on actual stories that, from Scripture, like actual accounts from Scripture. But the thing that's missing, I guess, and particularly if people don't do the fact-checking, if they just watch it and think, this is grand, this is fantastic, is, particularly as they're going through these Old Testament accounts, is they're missing salvation history. I was struck by the fact that at the beginning of this, you had, you know, it was a neat little turn how they had it set up, that Noah was telling the story of the Garden of Eden and the creation and everything, except he missed God's promise of a Savior, you know, from Genesis, you know, and their forgiveness before they were cast out of the garden. A fairly important thing to all Christians in many, many different traditions of Christian faith. And it really sets the stage, and that's kind of dropped. And then along the way, you keep finding other things dropped. The sacrificial system, lots of different things that would point forward to Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection. So it's interesting that that stuff just isn't there.
I wonder about this, just kind of asking the general question, what about our culture feels... we feel at liberty to take license with something like Holy Scripture. And my point of comparison may be a little far-fetched, but William Shakespeare, he dramatized a lot of history. He took tremendous liberties with history, sometimes only keeping the names.
Right.
But he dramatized history. To my knowledge, he never tried to dramatize a story from the Bible. I don't think he would have even considered doing such a thing. Why do we consider doing such a thing today?
It seems like it's a bigger problem today, but it's always been a problem. And I'll give you an example. During the Reformation period, there was lots of art being produced. That was around the same time and overlapping with what they call the Renaissance. So there's piles of different kinds of art being made. In fact, the late medieval period had lots of art being made, too. One thing that happened was that you would find these images of Abraham sacrificing Isaac, and Luther even comments on this at one point and says, the artists go wrong when they show Abraham sacrificing Isaac and Abraham has in his hand a sword and not a knife. And this is taking liberty with Scripture also, what ends up happening is a person looks at that piece of art, and the what a sword means as compared to what a butcher's knife means, two very different things. Suddenly, liberty has been taken with Scripture. The whole story itself has been skewed and goes off in a different direction for the viewer. So it's not just a current problem. It's always been a problem. Luther's advice was always be true to the Word of God. Be true to Scripture because that's what you need to do. You need to have that respect. I think that's in the kernel of the question you're asking. It seemed as though in the past people had more respect for Scripture, and they did, but people still took liberties with it. And if they hadn't, we wouldn't have, you know, some early church heresies, like Marcionism, for example, is somebody who took great liberties with Scripture. So at different times, there's been these waxing and waning periods of disregard or regard for the Bible. People are always curious about the Bible, sometimes, unfortunately, just not curious enough to really study it. Some people are particularly jaundiced towards the Christian faith and what Scripture teaches. They may watch this and go, see, that's everything I always hated about the Bible, without even looking at the Bible, and then it'll definitely be a disservice to people if that kind of thing happens.
Are we dealing with a kind of Marshall McLuhan medium is the message thing here? And that is, once you kind of take the script or the screenplay, so to speak, of the Bible, or treat the Bible as a screenplay, and then try and get it into the special effects-laden entertainment mediums that we have, television and movies, the medium takes over the story.
It can. I mean, I think in the it all goes back to the writing. If the writing isn't solid from the start, then you're going to have real problems. The special effects and things like that, they're there to illustrate what the writers are writing. So when the writer sits down to make the screenplay, if they you know, are taking liberties there, then the special effects are going to be connected to that. So the medium is definitely does play a part, but there are things you can do with film that can be very compelling. The use of music, I mean, you don't want to necessarily be whipping up a bunch of emotions in people in a manipulative way, but there are things that can be done with film that would be very appropriate and good in terms of telling the story. The interesting thing is that the Bible is so honest, and not very many people enjoy honesty on that level. So if you read through like the story of the various kings of Israel in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, or even like the story of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, it's brutally honest in Scripture. And they get a little nervous about that when they're writing their screenplay, because they're afraid of turning people off or making them turn the TV set off. So they kind of try to fix things. One thing that I noticed that was very interesting was how they dealt with Abraham and Abraham being asked by God to sacrifice Isaac. They made the voice of God in that particular moment in this Bible miniseries inaudible. All over the place, God is speaking. You can hear his voice as the viewer. You're hearing God speak. But at that moment, they didn't have that audible voice of God speaking to Abraham. And I think part of the reason is that the screenwriter didn't want to put those words in God's mouth, because they felt that that would be unpleasant, right? And they didn't like that. So they had instead Abraham responding to an inaudible voice, you know, saying, sacrifice, no, haven't I shown you enough faith? Well, Abraham never said those words. Scripture just portrays Abraham as being obedient. And then the book of Hebrews says that, you know, Abraham considered that even if he had killed his son Isaac, God would be able to raise Isaac from the dead, and that the promise would be fulfilled, the promise God had for Abraham. So it's very different. Like, I think that the honesty of Scripture is sometimes takes people aback. And if you're in an industry that wants to make money, you don't want to be like the preacher who has to tell people the bad news of reality and be honest. So sometimes they're going to sugarcoat things or they're going to hold back. And unfortunately, people can tell a little bit if something is genuine or not just by watching it. Really, if you're using discernment, you should be able to go back to Scripture and check and know the genuineness of how it's portrayed in a film or a movie or a book or anything like that.
Pastor Ted Giese is associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's author of a recent article titled "The Bible: Viewer Discretion is Advised." And you can read this review at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Giese, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up this summer, we're going to be celebrating the 5th anniversary of Issues Etc. as return with our listeners with our very first conference, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's got great speakers. All of them will be making the case in some area of a subject that you're familiar with. If you're a regular listener to Issues Etc., you'll recognize the guests and the topics. You can register online, issuesetc.org, or you can call Craig and talk to him about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, 618-223-8385. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and 15th, this summer right here in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org, ccle.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, etc. Issues ETC.org.